As we open God's Word together, we will look to the Lord, that the Lord will teach us concerning Himself and our need of Him from the sacred page. Our gracious Father in heaven, we do thank Thee that Thou hast so favored us and so blessed us with having Thy Word in our own tongue. We know that this is not the privilege of many across the globe. But Lord, we know that with privilege comes responsibility. And Thy Word reveals to us our true state by nature in Thy presence. And furthermore, Thy Word reveals the wonder of God in Christ at the cross, reconciling the world unto Himself. And we praise Thee tonight that there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There is a door that is open, and all may go in. At Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as sinners to the Lord Jesus. O Lord, bless Thy Word going forth. We know that herein are the words of life. This is the life-giving Word. And we pray that spiritual life will be imparted to others. And others this night will know what it is to be saved, to have sins forgiven, and to have peace with God and the assurance, it is well with my soul. So pour out Thy Spirit and grant wisdom and help from above, and glorify and magnify Thyself in the midst. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, and in the 14th verse, we have the words, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." In the Bible, we have vivid word pictures which describe our state, our condition by natural generation. We are depicted as being alien from God, as rebels, outcasts, captives. We are said to be diseased. From the head to the foot, no soundness in us. We are said to be blind, lost, referred to being deceived and perishing. To these alarming descriptive terms, we must add the two that are found in our text, the verse 14, asleep and dead, spiritually dead. The preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is like the blowing of a trumpet. Its sharp, piercing notes are designed to arouse, to awaken, to stir the heart and mind. And may you awake from your sleep. Arise from your spiritual death and flee to Jesus Christ. He will give you light. He will enlighten you in the knowledge of God through faith in His once-for-all sacrifice. Now, first of all, in this text, we see the desperate plight of souls sleeping and dead. There are a number of things that we may say of a state of sleep. It is a state of darkness. We usually sleep in the darkness of the night. And when you go to sleep, the shutters come down over the eyes, and you are enclosed in darkness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 7 explains, they that sleep, sleep in the night. Is this the condition that your soul is presently in? Sleeping, spiritually speaking, sleeping in darkness. Are you in the dark as to your peril in sin? In the dark as to the things that belong to your peace with God? Are you sleeping in spiritual darkness despite the fact that the full sunshine of the gospel has shed its radiant beams around you? It is this that makes your plight so desperate. The Lord in John chapter 3 and verse 19, he states, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Oh, will you sleep on until your soul is taken to the awful darkness of a lost eternity? Sleep is a state of darkness. In sleep there is a loss of sensibility. The person in a sound sleep hears nothing of what is going on around. Jonah in the Old Testament illustrates the point. We know that he attempted to sail to Tarsus. And as he sailed in that vessel, he lay fast asleep. And so soundly did Jonah sleep, he was not even aware that the vessel was caught in the teeth of the most ferocious storm. Such was the proportions of that storm. It was filling the hearts of the hardened sailors with fear. The captain had to come to Jonah and say, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call on thy God, that we perish not." While he slept, Jonah did not have the slightest notion of the peril that he was in. He was totally insensible to it. The devil has lulled you so fast to sleep that you do not know the peril that you're in. Death, judgment, and hell are before you. The danger of perishing in the sea of sin, of sinking in it to rise no more, is real. But you are oblivious to it, asleep. In sleep, there is a loss of activity. Our limbs relax, they are at ease. No plans are hatched, no work is done while we sleep, no desires are formed. And in a state of spiritual sleep, you do not labor or seek after the things that belong to your peace with God. You do not prepare to meet Him, seek the Lord, or flee from the wrath to come. The Proverb 15 and verse 24 tells us that the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. But you're asleep. You neither depart from hell nor seek the path of life. Furthermore, sleep is a state of delusion. How vivid, striking, real our dreams often are. But they are a delusion. They are without any substance. And we read in Isaiah chapter 29 and the verse 8 of a man in his dreams. The hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth. And that man who was starving, his dream was so real, he could smell and taste the food. It was pleasant to the palate. The hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth. But he awaketh, and his soul is empty. When he awoke, it was all a cruel delusion. His hunger pangs were stronger than ever before. Oh, what delusions you're under. Dreaming that all is well, that you're a child of God, an heir of heaven, and there's no substance to it all, for you're not on that foundation which is laid, which is Jesus Christ the Lord. Oh, that you would awake from your dream. Face the reality that you're not saved, that your soul is lost and undone. We can also say that sleep is a state of danger. Those who are asleep, they are no longer able to protect or defend themselves. How many have slept only to waken in God's eternity? While they slept, the enemy took away their life, as Jael did with Sisera in Judges chapter 4 and the verse 21. Judges chapter 4 and verse 21. Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent, took an hammer in her hand, and went softly unto Sisera, and smote the nail into his temples, and fastened it into the ground. For he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. While he slept, he lost his life. David had it in his power to slay Saul while he slept in the cave. And your soul is in spiritual danger every moment that you live. We know that Belshazzar was feasting in his palace. He was entertaining his guests in a drunken feast. And while that was going on, the finger of God wrote up his doom on the palace wall. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Think of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12, while he was planning his future. His soul was required of him. While the people were hailing Herod as a god, he was smitten with worms and died. Oh, it is only the long suffering, the mercy of God that has preserved you in the land of the living, that has kept you to this moment so that you can hear the glorious gospel, the words of life. Oh, how dangerous your spiritual sleep is. It's not only dangerous, our text indicates, it is deadly. Your soul is not only asleep in sin, but dead in sin. In the raising of the daughter of Jairus, the Lord said in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 24, "She is not dead, but sleepeth." Such is your spiritual condition. You're not only asleep, but also dead. Salvation is called in Hebrews 6 and verse 1, repentance from dead works. Salvation is represented by the returning of the prodigal. We read of him in Luke chapter 15 and verse 32. The prodigal's father said to the objections of the elder brother, he said in verse 32, it was meet, or it was fitting, that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother, the prodigal, he was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Here's the descriptive state of the prodigal in the far country. He was dead spiritually. We say that things are dead when they no longer serve the purpose for which they were created. The tree, when it has no foliage and there's no fruit, we say it's dead. And your soul, naturally speaking, is dead to God. The truth is, you do not delight yourself in His word or His ways. You have no real desire for the knowledge of God. Sin has left you dead spiritually. Works which result in everlasting punishment, banishment to hell and destruction, they will take you to the place called the second death, spiritual eternal death. What a desperate plight your soul is in, sleeping while your damnation slumbereth not, dead while the worm of your eternal torment will never die. But we see secondly in this text the divine plea. Notice the wording, verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 5. "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead." There is a call to awake. There is a plea to arise. The voice of God is calling you to awake to your danger, to arouse yourself from your slumber. The Lord is calling you to use the divinely given powers of reasoning and to reflect on your ways. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 28, We read of an ungodly man. He considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed. He has been aroused. He has been awakened. He's considering. He is turning away from all his transgressions. Oh, that the same would be true of you. Awake to consider your state in the sight of God, a sinner like all of us, a transgressor from the womb, under condemnation, nearing hell and destruction, lost and perishing. It is written of the prodigal that he came to himself. What does that mean? It means he came to see how far down in the mire he had sunk. He took stock of his ways, where he was heading. Where are you heading? Where will your soul be in eternity? Consider these things. Awake to consider them and turn. It was after the prodigal came to himself that he returned to his father's house, to his loving father. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26 speaks of those who may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And the word recover may be translated in the original awake, that they may awake themselves. The purpose of the gospel ministry is that those that hear, they may awake. There's a proverb which says, a man that hath an enemy must not sleep. You're at enmity with God by your wicked works. Sin has separated between you and the holy God. It's not a light matter. Be ye reconciled with him. Awake to your need of his so great salvation. Arise from the dead, forsake the paths of sin, and flee to the only Redeemer. And we notice that this plea, it is a personal one. It's very personal. It's in the singular. Awake thou that sleepest. It is not directed to the person in the next row or on the opposite side. It's directed to yourself. We remember how the Lord called Lazarus from the dead. He called him by name. And so the Lord calls you personally by your name to himself to repent and to come to him. Acts chapter 13 and verse 26 tells us, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Salvation is so personal. It's individualistic. It's for you. God be merciful to me, the sinner. May that be your response. May you seek mercy. God is plenteous in mercy. It's a personal plea. It's a pressing plea. It is a call to awake. When the father or mother of the home calls all within to awake, it is expected that they awake instantly, not in 10 minutes' time, or certainly not in an hour's time. For someone to awake, there is an urgency there. And the gospel is an urgent call. Oh, doze and slumber over the trifles of life. But awake now, this moment, to see to the salvation of your soul. Proverbs chapter 10 and the verse 5 speaks of the farmer's son in harvest time. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 5, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. I'm a farmer's son, and back where I come from, making hay, you do have to make it while the sun shines, for the rain is never far away. And it would be unthinkable in harvest that the father's son would be sleeping. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 explains to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And what a dreadful thing it is for the farmer's son to sleep in harvest. It's but a short season to get the crop in. And as far as the salvation of the soul is concerned, there is but a short season. And none of us know how short that time may be. But we do know that David said on one occasion, there is but a step. Think of it. He said, there is but a step between me and death. Our life is like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Eternity where? Oh, now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The Lord exhorts you in His Word. Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Enough time has been wasted already in godless ways, in Christless living. Oh, make haste. Awake, arise, and flee to the only Savior of sinners. And then we see the deliverance promised. For the text says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Paul gave an account of his calling to preach to the Gentiles, to King Agrippa. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, he explained to the king what this calling meant. And he said, Agrippa, I have been sent to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Paul preached Christ. He preached the cross. It was tantamount to preaching gospel light to men perishing in darkness. The Lord came to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. The redeemed are to show forth the praises of Him who has called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. To be given light is to be brought to God, and only Christ can do such a work. No man cometh unto the Father, Jesus said, but by me. The Lord, in his great I Am sayings, he said exclusively, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Christ will give you light. Those who trust in him are made meet. They are fitted to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, in heaven. In heaven, we know that there is no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of the Lord lightens it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Oh, let it not be said of you that you will not come to the light, that you prefer darkness, that you will choose the darkness over the gospel light. Oh, come to the light. It's shining for you. Sweetly the light has dawned on me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is the Lord Jesus. David in Psalm 27 and verse 1, he said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Martin Luther said, the essence of true and undefiled religion, it lies in the eyes and the mise of Scripture. And David can say, the Lord is my light, personal, and my salvation, personal. How many in this gathering, as we close tonight, have been to the cross, have been enlightened in the knowledge of God through Jesus Christ? Awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light, the light of life eternal. Oh, do not go on in the paths of spiritual darkness. Come to the Savior. Come tonight just as you are with all your sin. The Lord has promised that whosoever shall call upon his name shall here and now instantly be saved. Saved from the wrath to come. Saved with an eternal salvation. May that be you. May you tonight close in with the offer of gospel mercy. May the Lord bless his word and write it with blessing eternal on the heart.